paid 260 euros for a pair of Crocs, man. Those shoes pretty much broke my foot.
It's only going downhill from here.
What up, guys? This is Josh.
And this is Fobs. And this is the Kickback Pod.
Yo, 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 welcome back to another episode of the Kickback Pod, episode 69. Yeah, it's episode 69. And in today's episode, because it is one of our favorite times of the year, that is the start of the NFL, or not NFL, I'm so sorry, the start of the NBA playoffs. We thought we'd have a bit of a basketball-themed episode today for our big topic. We are both going to be counting down our personal top five favorite signature basketball sneakers right now, and that is for players who are still playing. So of course no Michael Jordan will be talked about here, but yeah, that's the big topic for today's episode. But before we get into that, of course, want to shout out my co-host back with me once again, Fobs. How you doing, man?
What up? I'm very excited for this episode. Obviously, both of us big basketball fans. It's a nice time of year for sports. But yeah, man, I mean, how have you been? What have you been up to recently? I saw you were traveling.
Yeah, I was. So I was since the last time we recorded, I've done a lot of the UK. I've been to Edinburgh on a trip with my friends. And then also a couple of weeks ago, I was in London, which was a great trip. I got out of my comfort zone a little bit, decided to vlog during the trip, because actually a lot of you guys listening had requested me to start vlogging a bit more. And thanks a lot for the response on that video. Very, very positive response and feedback received. So I'm definitely going to be doing that a bit more. It was a bit weird filming in public. That's one of the main reasons why I wasn't vlogging all this time, because I'm still a bit weird about filming in front of people, but I kind of just got over that on this trip. I was filming in trains, in very public places, like on the street, people looking at me all weird, but I kind of just got over it. Once you start doing it, I guess you just don't really care who's watching. So that was cool. And I will be vlogging a bit more. This weekend, actually, I will be in Paris. So yeah, man, very excited for that. Actually, it's a work trip, but I'm going to be going there a bit early, so a couple of days early, just to spend some time in the city and do some vlogging. Those of you who are in Paris, by the way, if you see someone approach you and ask you about your shoes, that's going to be me, because I'm planning to do a different style of video on this trip where I will be just randomly approaching people on the street with some high heat sneakers and just asking them, why did they buy them? What do they feel about those shoes? So if you're walking around Paris this weekend with some fire shoes on, you might be approached by me. So that's part of the plan for this weekend. Enjoyed London, watched your team, Manchester United, get whooped by Chelsea at the Stamford Bridge. I will say one thing though. Even though the Stamford Bridge, of course, is Chelsea's home stadium, the Man U fans, even though there was maybe 10 or 20% of the people in the crowd were Man U fans and they had a supporter section, they were by far the loudest people in the stadium. Like, it wasn't even close.
I mean, that's also because fan culture in the UK is pretty dead. Have you ever been to a Bundesliga game? Because
yes.
The atmosphere Bundesliga games is 10 times better than the atmosphere at Premier League games. I've been to a couple Old Trafford games. I've been to the Emirates Stadium as well. Obviously Arsenal Stadium. And it's so much quieter there. And United is actually known for having very good traveling fans. So United away fans are quite loud. But on the flip side, when you're at Old Trafford, a lot of times it's the away fans that are also louder. So that's kind of this weird almost phenomenon in the UK, or at least in England, where away fans are usually the more hardcore kind of dedicated fans that travel to see their team. They're traveling up and down the country. They're spending, you know, all of their money on United and away tickets and, you know, travel there and back, and sometimes even a hotel. And then at least for the big teams, right? Like the home fans, the mixture of families, which are obviously going to be a little bit more quiet, tourists such as, you know, myself and you, who are obviously going to be a little bit more quiet. So it's that weird mix between like the league is so popular worldwide and has become almost an attraction in itself for foreigners, right, and for tourists, that the atmosphere has kind of lacked a little bit. Which is why I always have fun going to Premier League games, but I much prefer the Bundesliga atmosphere because you get it from both sets of the fans. You have really loud and raucous home fans, but you've also got very, very loud away fans, and you've got drums and stuff in German stadiums. So overall, it's a lot louder. And if you're going for purely a just an experience, then I would recommend going to a game in Germany over in England.
Well, shout out to, speaking of Bundesliga, shout out to Bayer Leverkusen for breaking breaking the streak, I guess, of Bayern Munich winning 12 years in a row. And all it took was Xabi Alonso to join Bayer Leverkusen and go pretty much undefeated across all competitions this year, which is just incredible. So big far, shout right? out to them.
So far, the season's not over. They could still lose, but they're looking like probably one of the best teams, at least in Europe. They're the only undefeated team left in the top leagues in Europe. They've played
insane achievement though.
Yeah, they've played the best Bundesliga season so far. They're still undefeated in the Europa League. They play against West Ham actually the day that we're dropping this, in the second leg. I honestly, as like a neutral German fan, I hope that they go undefeated in all competitions, because it'd be a historic achievement winning the treble, obviously the smaller treble because it's the Europa League, not the Champions League. But I think going undefeated in any competition is really difficult. So yeah, big shout out Leverkusen, big shout out Manchester United, and I guess Chelsea. Big shout out to the NBA, but we will get to that later. Before we get into NBA talk, NBA sneaker talk, let's talk about what we've been wearing. So Josh, what have you been pulling on and wearing out the past few weeks?
So I did, this year I wanted to explore different styles of footwear a bit more. So the first pair that I purchased this year that wasn't sneakers recently was the Supreme Doc Martens. I believe they're called the three-hole derby because there's literally just three holes in there. I really enjoy these shoes. They look great, and they obviously like just give you a much more dressed up vibe than wearing sneakers, which I'm kind of still getting used to. And I purchased these ones in particular because they do look very different compared to other Doc Martens shoes. They have a bit of like a patina going on around the toe area where like there's like a bit of wearing out of the shoe already, and it will wear out more over time. And I just thought that was a very interesting look, so I purchased these, and they're surprisingly very, very comfortable after pretty much the second wear. So yeah, that's probably been the shoe I've been wearing the most recently. But as far as the sneakers go, the Jound 990 V3s, it is the springtime, so this is one of the first shoes I like to bring out in the spring season. It's such a beautiful shoe, my favorite Jound shoe ever. And that colorway, just a timeless, timeless shoe. And of course, enough has been said about the comfort of the sneaker. But yeah, I've been rocking that one nonstop. And also because it is the springtime, I like to bring out some of the more colorful options, the more louder options. So I have been rocking my Wales Bonner Sambas quite a bit as well, the leopard print. And that is still a shoe that every time I wear it, regardless of what city I am in, there's no shoe recently that has getting me more compliments than those. Doesn't matter where I go, I feel like everyone looks at that shoe, everyone compliments that shoe. So well worth. I was able to get that for retail, thankfully, so I'm very, very happy. I decided to keep my pair, rock my pair. It's still a great feeling to get a compliment on your shoe, and these get me a ton of compliments. So I've been enjoying rocking those as well. What about yourself, man?
I have not been wearing that many sneakers, but I've recently pulled out a older pair of shoes from my closet that I'm enjoying, and it's the Slam Jam Nike Air Force One from 2022. And it's just a solid sneaker. It's an all-white Air Force One with, a little bit of cream or off-white accents here and there, a bit of material switch-ups on the quarter panel and the swoosh, and then obviously the perforations on the toe box have been changed slightly to an Slam Jam logo, which I think is a nice detailed touch. Yeah, man, I mean, the weather has been pretty up and down in Berlin and Europe in general, I think, over the past couple weeks. It's been super hot. It's been super cold. It's been somewhere in between. It's been wet. It's been dry. And I feel like these Air Force Ones kind of go with everything. You can wear them with pants. You can wear them with shorts. You can wear them with more, like, athletic attire. You can wear them with more dressed up or dressed down attire. You can wear them when it's muddy outside, because you know, you just give them a quick clean when you're back home and they look fresh. You can wear them obviously when it's dry out and clean out. So I'm finding myself more and more drawn to versatility and just in general shoes that fit multiple occasions, because I think at the crux of it, I'm just too lazy to get out too many shoes. So like whatever's lying at the front, I'll take and put on. But I do try and make an effort every couple of weeks to like pull out one or two new ones, put these ones back in their box and put them back under the bed or wherever I got them from. So yeah, not rotating too much within like a week, but like every couple of weeks I'll switch out what I've been wearing.
Well, speaking of Slam Jam and speaking of shoes that are very versatile and you can wear for multiple occasions, the New Balance 1906 L, and the L here stands for loafer, has been leaked, and the first colorway is supposed to be a gray colorway. And the reason I mentioned Slam Jam is because Slam Jam yesterday, so I guess the Tuesday of this week, actually had an event in Milan where they launched the shoe. And they haven't released it on their website, but apparently the shoe was on display at the event. So they seem to be the first retailer who should be getting this sneaker loafer sometime soon. And that is maybe going to be like the most, like the ultimate versatile sneaker shoe for the sneakerheads out there, which I'm very, very excited about. Are you planning on picking up a pair of those once they release? It looks like they're going to be a GR with multiple colorways.
Honestly, probably not. I'm just not like a loafery kind of guy. And then like the sneaker loafers, I think they're interesting to look at, but I don't know if I'd wear them myself.
Okay. I'm definitely planning on picking one up. The gray one and then those Junior Watanabe, the leather black one. Both of those look very, very interesting to me. Well, let's move into latest pickups. Have you picked up anything
recently? Honestly, man, I have been slacking on that front. But also just because there haven't been that many shoes that I've liked enough to pick up. So no, man, I actually have not picked up anything since our last episode. But I know you have a few pickups, so lay it on me. What have you added to the rotation, to the collection?
Me as well. It's been relatively quiet, considering it's been almost a month since our last episode. It's been fairly quiet. There's not been too many things that have caught my attention. I already mentioned in the last episode my last big pickup, which was the Asics Hidden Gel NYC, which I plan on actually taking with me to Paris this weekend to really test it out, because I'm going to be walking around a lot this weekend. But as far as some other pickups, I got the New Balance 990 V4 Arctic Gray colorway from the Made in USA line, which I think is one of the nicest looking colorways we've seen from the Made in USA line. Easily the best pair, I think, from this season, season 5. And also generally one of my favorite pairs to come out of this collection. Reminds me a lot of the Jound 990 V4s that dropped maybe a few years ago. Except this colorway arguably is even better looking. And as I guess, you know, people probably felt the same way as me, because these sneakers were incredibly hard to get considering they were a general release. They sold out pretty much everywhere. Big sizes aren't available anywhere right now. So that's pretty rare for Made in USA sneakers to sell out that fast. So that was one pickup. I already mentioned that I'm getting into the more non-sneakers lately. So I did pick up another pair of loafers. Yeah, it's like once you start, you can't stop, you know. So I picked up a pair of the GH Bass Weejuns, which a lot of people say is a great starter loafer. It's more on the affordable side.
Yeah, it's a classic.
Yeah, it's a classic, and I got it from End Clothing. They were having a 20% off sale, so I got it for around 180, I believe. It was normally like 230. So I got the brown pair, and still I've only really worn it one time, and it was pretty painful, to be honest, the first time I wore it. Every review I watched online, everyone said get true to size, which is what I did. But now I'm what? Sorry, I'm choking up a little bit, but now I'm wondering whether I should have gotten a half size up. But I do hear that Weejuns do break in quite well over time, so maybe I just need to wear it a bit more. And finally, the last pickup, a Hoka shoe. So there was a collab recently between Hoka and Hidden Characters, which is a retailer, I believe, based out of Chicago. It was on the Tor Ultra Low. Interesting looking shoe. It's got like a black top, white bottom, kind of like split down the middle. It actually looks very similar to those upcoming Nike and CDG collab on the, I believe, the Air Max 98 this year, later this year. It looks very identical to that shoe. And I'm a big fan of the Tor Ultra Low. I earlier this year picked up the beige colorway. I couldn't decide between brown and beige, so I said beige. But the beige colorway, it was pretty nice. And this is a good starter shoe, I think, if you're trying to get into Hoka. So yeah, I picked this one up as well. Very, very comfortable as well, as with most of the Hoka stuff. But yeah, that's about it. Just three pickups. Should we maybe move into the bigger topic now?
Let's do that, but let's segue into NBA playoffs. Let's kick it off with, we do this pretty much every year since we started the podcast. First of all, your thoughts on the season, your thoughts on, you know, the players and maybe even the MVP race. And then let's talk about who you got in the finals of the NBA playoffs.
As far as the season goes, Eastern Conference, I thought, was not so exciting this year, especially because Boston was by far and away the best team, right? Like, I believe they're 8 or 9 games ahead in first place at the end of the year, and or even more than that, I think. But on the Western side, though, wow. Western Conference was amazing this year, like very, very close between first all the way to 10th place. And just so many good teams this year to watch, so many upcoming exciting players. It was cool to get a full year of Zion Williamson, for example. Jokic continued doing his thing. So many good things going on in the West. My favorite team, of course, the Toronto Raptors, had a horrific year. So from a personal point of view, it was a bit disappointing. But just as a general NBA fan, I really enjoyed the year. As far as MVP goes, I don't think it's as close as people in the media are making it seem. For me, like, Jokic is easily the MVP. If you just look at his stats, they're just ridiculous, like absolutely ridiculous. Oh, and another thing I loved about the NBA this year was all of the rookies, especially Wemby. Wemby,
yes,
he had such a high expectations put on him, and in my opinion, he surpassed them.
Oh yeah, for sure.
He's like such a generational talent. Like, this guy got more blocks in one year than I think Gobert got in like the last 3 seasons combined. Like, it was something ridiculous like that. So Wemby is just unbelievable. Watching other teams attack the paint and just get scared when they see him and like pass the ball outside is kind of funny. So he's just been like unreal. I can't believe he's a 20-year-old rookie, but yeah, I feel like there's just been a lot of excitement this year in the NBA. Like, what do you think? What do you think of the season?
Yeah, I mean, your point about Wemby, I feel like every week I woke up, checked Twitter, Reddit, Instagram, and saw some random stat about, like, Wemby is only the 5th player ever to do this, this, and this, or average this, this, and this, and he's a rookie, you know? Like, there's so many things that he's done stat-wise or performance-wise that, when you look at the other names on the list of players who've done it, it's like you're looking at like a Tim Duncan or a LeBron James, and you're just kind of like, this player who is 20, his first year in the league, everyone's saying he's too skinny, you know, he needs time to adapt and stuff like that. People, like, I remember people saying that he was going to be a better Kristaps Porzingis, which, like,
yeah, people were actually saying that.
No shade to Kristaps, like, good player, and was rightfully labeled as a unicorn when he came, but like, since he's come into the league, the game has changed so much, and like, now everybody can shoot like Kristaps can, right? And I think that was almost like people were just, it's not even disrespectful, because Porzingis is a really good player, but like, man, Wemby is generational, was generational, still is, and I think he's blown that out of the water. He's shown that he's not going to be just a better Porzingis. He is like, I mean, if he stays healthy, and that, you know, obviously is a big if he can play 10 plus seasons in the NBA at a high level, man, he's going to be in the conversation for top three bigs ever. You know what I mean?
For sure, man. And as far as that team, if they're missing a point guard, I feel like next year there's been a lot of rumors like maybe Trae Young will go to that team. Man, just imagine that combo, Trae Young and Wemby. Oh my God, man! Bro. Like that's gonna shut down the league.
Yeah.
So I'm hoping that happens.
It's gonna be a wild ride watching his career flourish, and I hope that, you know, he stays healthy, he stays grinding, but I think he's got the right attitude and the right skill set and mindset to succeed. I mean, he's already shown it this season. I mean, as a Knicks fan, I'm super happy that we ended up with the 2 seed in the East, which was relatively surprising, which sets up a very delicious Eastern Conference final against the 1 seed Boston Celtics, which would be amazing if the Celtics get that far.
Wait, are you a Celtics fan or a Knicks fan?
Knicks fan. Did I say Celtics? I mean, Knicks.
Okay. You said it'd be amazing if the Celtics get far.
No, sorry. I mean, it'd be amazing if the Knicks get that far. I know the Celtics will get far. So, I think my pick will be Celtics versus the Nuggets in the finals, and then for the Nuggets to win just because Jokic is too good. But if the Knicks make the Eastern Conference Finals, man, all bets are off, man. The Knicks can do some damage. They're the underdogs. They got a chip on their shoulder playing against the rivals, the Celtics. So that would be my dream Eastern Conference final, but I think realistically it's going to be the Celtics and the Nuggets in the finals. What about you?
Yeah, I'm going a little bit bold with my pick here for the finals. So I actually am picking your team, the Knicks, to make it to the finals. And the reason is because I did watch that game, I believe it was last week, between the Knicks and the Celtics, where the Knicks just destroyed the Celtics, even though the Celtics played their full team. They weren't like, you know, relaxing the starters or anything. They played the full team. The Knicks were missing Julius Randle, and the Knicks just destroyed them. And I think that the Knicks really match up very well with the Celtics, that in a playoff series, I can see the Knicks coming out on top. The Knicks, I feel like, have a pretty difficult matchup in round one, because it's going to be either the 76ers or the Miami Heat. But after that, I think they could potentially go to the finals. And on the West, a little bit bold with this selection, but I'm going to go with the Dallas Mavericks, man. I think the Mavericks can make it to the finals, man. Like, watching the combo, I really do think the Luka, shout out to Luka also, by the way, who was amazing this year.
Yeah. And
any other season, he would win MVP easily, but Jokic is Jokic. But Luka and Kyrie combination, I think, is the best duo in the league. And in the playoffs, it's going to be a nightmare defending those two guys. And I can see the Mavs going pretty far. So I'm going with a Mavs-Knicks final, which would be pretty exciting to watch.
That is a hot take, but that is a final I would love to watch, because Knicks being my team and then the Mavs being my, you know, team as a Nowitzki fan, right? Like, I feel like all Germans have a soft spot for the Mavericks. We will see, man. We will see. It's going to be an interesting playoffs. They're playing the play-ins right now. So let's see. It's crazy on the West that the Warriors and the Lakers... Oh, no, the Lakers won. But the Warriors are out, which is wild. They lost their play-in against the Kings, who are playing the Pelicans for the 8th seed. That being said, let us move on to the big topic of the day. And as Josh teased earlier, we are picking our top five best signature sneakers in the basketball universe, only taking into account active players. So no retired players, no late greats such as Kobe Bryant. Josh, do you want to kick us off maybe with an honorable mention?
Yeah, definitely. Before we even begin this topic, I want to say that there's just, I feel a lot of excitement right now with basketball sneakers again. After a very long period of not too much innovation in this space, it was pretty much like an overlooked section of sneakers. Like I feel like there's not been too many exciting shoes to come out in terms of basketball shoes over the last 5-6 years at least. But right now, there's just a lot of different great options, a lot of like interesting designs being put into basketball sneakers, which is why we're dedicating a whole episode to talk about this. So the first honorable mention that didn't really make my top five is the KD17. So the KD17 is interesting because actually it's not even released yet. It's supposed to be releasing later this summer. KD himself hasn't even worn these shoes yet. But I think it's a pretty interesting looking shoe because Nike's clearly, you know, trying to go for those glory days when people used to wear basketball sneakers for lifestyle use. Like if you remember the 2011, 12, 13, around that time, it was pretty common for people to rock LeBrons with a pair of jeans or even their Kobes with a pair of jeans. And those were like maybe the glory days of Nike basketball. And I feel like Nike is trying to go for that with the KD17 because it's very clear where the inspiration came from this shoe. It looks very much like the Nike Air Max Plus with those interesting designs on the cages, basically those wavy cages that people love on the Air Max Plus. And it does, I think, look great on this model, especially the original colorway. I don't know the official name of this colorway, but I love it. It looks great. This orange with some blue tints to it. And I'm excited for this sneaker to come out. It should be releasing for only $150 in the summer. So yeah, interesting to see what other colorways will come out. Maybe some Air Max Plus inspired colorways, like a purple, Volt purple colorway would be nice. But yeah, this one, really good sneaker, but didn't make my top five. What about you? Do you have an honorable mention?
Yeah, I mean, the KD17 is an interesting one. I can't say that I would personally wear it, but I do like the shout out to the Air Max Plus, as you pointed out, those kind of, yeah, that lace cage, which are actually inspired by the palm trees in Florida. The designer of the shoe took inspiration from whale fins or whale tails and palm trees for his design. Now, my honorable mention is actually the Jordan Tatum 2 because I was surprised how much I liked the shoe as I was doing research for this episode. I hadn't seen it before, and I wasn't a huge fan of the Tatum 1, but the Tatum 2 is, in my opinion, a very sneaky underdog kind of. It costs $125. It's relatively affordable. It's like that low cut, mid top style. It's got this cool kind of graphic design thing on the midsole, on the side of the midsole, across the side of the shoe. There's some interesting colorways out there. So it's different. It's fresh. I kind of like it, but it just wasn't enough to make the top five because, as you said, there is a lot of good stuff out there. And with that being said, why don't we jump right into the top five? Josh, what is your pick for number five?
So for number five, I'm actually looking at a different league. I'm talking about the WNBA here. And it's really crazy to even be talking about sneakers from the WNBA because it's super rare for Nike to give a signature sneaker to a WNBA player. And apparently in entire history, this has only happened 12 times. So the sneaker that I have in my top five is the Nike Sabrina 1, which is the signature shoe of WNBA player Sabrina Ionescu. And this sneaker, I just think looks sick. It's very sleek. yeah, you can kind of say maybe it does look like most other Nike basketball shoes, but I think the colorways really make them stand out quite a bit. And the fact that this shoe has kind of caught on in the NBA as well, because we're seeing a lot of NBA players rock this shoe, including all-stars like Tyrese Halliburton. He's yep. seen rocking it. Jrue Holiday was rocking the sneaker as well. I mean, if you haven't noticed already, I feel like there's been more noise about the WNBA in the last year than ever before. So much so that the WNBA draft, which was earlier this week, it had a lot of viewers. It had a lot of people looking at the number one pick, Caitlin Clark. March Madness had just finished. The WNBA games I saw had even more viewers than the finals of the WNBA game had, like, even more viewers, I believe, than the one for the men's, which is kind of crazy. So the Sabrina one is a big deal. It's getting popular with the males as well. And yeah, it's a pretty nice looking shoe. And it's cool to see Nike give a WNBA player such a good looking pair of sneakers.
Yeah. I have the Sabrina one as my pick for number five as well. And I think I need to echo what you said as well, or maybe even just highlight it again. I think it's cool to see the NBA players, especially, you know, all-star level players such as Halliburton, such as Holiday, show respect to WNBA players. Sabrina Ionescu has only been in the league for 4 years now. She was drafted in 2020, first overall. But she already has a very, very impressive resume. Actually, she is considered to be one of the best NCAA basketball players of all time. She is the only Division I basketball player to record 2,000 points, 1,000 assists, and 1,000 rebounds in a career. And I believe that record is both for men's and women's Division I basketball players in the NCAA. She is also the NCAA all-time leader in career triple doubles, which is impressive to say the least. So this is a player that came out of college. She played for the Oregon Ducks with a lot of hype, and she has continued that hype in the NBA, which is why just 4 years, or rather 3 years into her career as an WNBA player, Nike has given her a signature shoe. She's balling out. She plays the New York Liberty right now. She's a point guard. She's an amazing shooter. She can dish the ball. And I agree with you as well. I'm seeing a lot more like WNBA highlights on Instagram, on TikTok. I'm seeing a lot, you know, more discourse as well on social media, on different forums. And generally, I mean, you know, there's always these trolls that are being like dickheads, right? Because it's women's sports. But like, I would say generally the discourse has been trending in a positive direction. People giving these players the flowers that they deserve. What's the player's name that just got drafted? Caitlin Clark, obviously getting a lot of love on social as well. Everybody's saying that she's going to be huge as well and be an amazing player. I mean, she is probably right up there with one of the best NCAA basketball players of all time, and she's probably going to be real good in the WNBA as well. It's just nice to see, man. And the shoe itself, I mean, we haven't really described the shoe, but the shoe itself, it's a low top. I think it takes a few cues from like the Kobe line.
Yeah, I was just going to say, it's giving me like strong Kobe vibes for sure.
Exactly. And I think it plays really well as well. I've heard like a lot of people say that it's a very good shoe. It's got decent grip. It's light. It's comfortable. It does what you need a basketball shoe to do. It's just cool for cool to see Nike give a female basketball player the chance to have a signature sneaker and for that to also take off. So definitely well deserved and well placed on both of our lists at number five. Moving on to number four, JD, what do you have on number four?
Oh man, it's your favorite shoe. No, I'm playing. It's a shoe that my co-host absolutely hates, but I think it deserved to be on the list. And that is the Nike Book One, which dropped this year, I believe earlier this year. Devin Booker finally getting a signature shoe. And this sneaker, I can't remember another basketball sneaker that has such a divided opinion. There's people who think, oh man, this is the best sneaker ever because I can wear it on the court, off the court. It goes with all my outfits and it plays well. It plays great. And then you got guys who think, oh my God, this is the most generic, the most boring looking copy and paste Nike basketball sneaker ever made. And to be honest, I think both camps are right in this case. The reason why I have the shoe at number four is because it has created so much conversation in the sneaker community. It's a sneaker that you can't ignore, you know, like it's every colorway that drops, people have something to say about it. In my personal opinion, I think all of the colorways that they've dropped on the shoe so far that are original colorways, like that original orange pair, then the Mirage one, then we also have this upcoming, I believe it's called Haven, which is named after Booker's dog. And there's also this one that I was very interested in copying, which was called the Hike, which is like a more premium take with like some snakeskin material on there. I think all these original colorways look really, really nice on this shoe. Where this shoe really loses me is when they start putting these classic Nike colorways on it. Like I've seen like the shattered backboard version. I've seen like the Cortez colorways. I've seen like some classic Jordan 1 colorways being put on the shoe. Because every time Nike does that, it looks like an abomination. Like it looks terrible. Like the shattered backboard one was like, oh God, it looked horrendous in my opinion on this sneaker. So I feel like they should just stop putting these classic colorways on there, just give it the new ones and the shoe will be fine. But I do think it's a very generic looking shoe, but at the same time, I think it's a good looking shoe that you can wear with different outfits. Like I did a whole video talking about this, like comparing this shoe to the AE1. Not in terms of performance and in terms of looks, but in terms of which sneaker is easier to wear with different outfits in your closet. And I feel like the Book One is just a lot easier to pull off. And for that reason, that's exactly what Devin Booker set out to do when he made the shoe. He wanted something that was very, very simple looking. If you look at Devin Booker's fashion style, it's very much something that you and I can just pull off ourselves. It's like Carhartt jackets and Converse sneakers. You know, it's like he's got this very simple style and he wanted to replicate that in his sneakers. And I think he did a good job there. And yeah, it sparked a lot of conversations. I think it should definitely be in the top five, but I know you have a different opinion on this, so I'd like to hear it.
I violently disagree with that take, man. I really like, there's not many shoes that I dislike, but this shoe, when I see it, and it's not even that I dislike it. It's just like you said, it's so boring. And one of the big things is like, if you put this shoe and the Nike Ja 1, so Ja Morant's shoe side by side, could you name five differences? Because it's, to me, it's like almost the exact same shoe. There's not many differences in terms of design and overall shape of the shoe. I think the colorways that they brought out, as you pointed out, some of them have been really, you know, some of them have been a miss and others have been like a huge miss in my opinion. I just can't get around the shoe being good in my, like, yeah, I could probably rant for like another 45 minutes on why I don't like this shoe, but I think it's boring. It looks like a Timberland. It looks like it doesn't belong on the court. It doesn't belong with a pair of jeans either, in my opinion. So I think the less said, the better here. I think we will agree to disagree, and I'm sure that there's a lot of listeners out there that probably disagree with me and agree with you, or vice versa. But I have to say, it's probably one of the most uninspired signature shoes. Like, yeah, it could have easily been a signature shoe for me, you know, and I don't even really play basketball. So I'm going to leave it there and go ahead with my pick for the fourth best ranked signature shoe on my list. And I'm going to take it from Nike to Puma. Yes, I put a Puma shoe in the top five, and no, it is not LaMelo Ball's signature sneaker. It is the WNBA MVP's signature shoe. Breanna Stewart's signature Puma shoe is the Stewie 3. So this is already her third signature shoe. And yeah, I mean, as I said, she's the reigning WNBA MVP. She is the best player in the NBA. She's doing great things for women's basketball and basketball in general. She's won the gold medal for Team USA in 2016 and 2020, and hoping to do it again this year in Paris, in France, for the 2024 Olympics. And the shoe that has just come out, actually, I think it's dropping in May at some point, early May. It's the one of the first colorways is actually an homage to her partner and her daughter, or their daughter, as well as the city of Paris. It's got a lot of like floral detailing on it. And to me, this is like a much nicer version of the Melo Ball or LaMelo Ball sneaker. It's a low top. It's got a very, very clear, in my opinion at least, Kobe Bryant influences. It's relatively simple. It's low cut. It's got a low profile. It almost looks like you could probably play futsal in the shoe as well. And I'm a big, big fan of the influence that Kobe's signature line has had on not just other Nike shoes, but in general, like NBA players, WNBA players, basketball players worldwide. They all grew up idolizing Kobe, wearing Kobe's shoes, and now that they get their own shoes, they want something that looks like his shoe, that feels like his shoe a little bit. And I mean, if you ignored the branding and just looked at these side by side, they look very much like the Kobe 8s, which have come out as a Protro. So I'm a very big fan of the Puma Stewie 3 dropping in May. And also, I mean, super cool to see not just one, but two women on this list, and showing that not just Nike, but also Puma are investing in WNBA players, which is dope to see.
Yeah, I mean, it's definitely a very nice looking shoe, and some of the colorways are nice. It does, however, you know, I feel like with this sneaker, I kind of have to give it the same kind of criticism I give a lot of Nike basketball shoes, which is like, I feel like all of the Puma signature sneakers look the same to me. Like this sneaker to me looks almost identical to the MB, or sorry, the ones from LaMelo Ball, the yeah. MB02, I believe. I just feel like the silhouette's almost identical. So maybe Puma needs to differentiate in a better way, just the way some of these shoes look. But other than that, I do think some of the colorways absolutely fire, especially that pink one. The pink one is super nice.
Yeah, that's fair. I think there are some similarities. Maybe it's just Puma also trying to really push a certain brand identity and design language through its basketball sneakers, just as Nike has. I would be a fan of brands switching it up a little bit more, because I do agree with you that within certain brands, it gets a little bit samey. But yeah, I mean, fair shout out, man.
Yo, definitely. All right, so moving on to our top three. So at number three, I have another sneaker that has, similarly to the book one, been a major talking piece, and that is the Harden Volume 8. James Harden now already his eighth sneaker with Adidas. And I think it's safe to say that this sneaker has been the most attention grabbing since his original pair, the Harden ones. And that's because it looks like nothing else that Adidas had ever put out. It looks like no other basketball sneaker before it. It's completely from, it looks like literally a shoe for an alien. It's very bulbous looking. In some might say it kind of looks like a banana. It has like a banana shape to it. But yeah, it's either one. It's those shoes that you either think is the ugliest shoe of all time, or you think it's like the hardest basketball shoe of all time. No pun intended. But I personally think it looks really, really cool. I really like some of the colorways as well. Like the salmon colorway, I think looks pretty hard on the sneaker. Yeah, I mean, I don't think this is a sneaker that we can give the same criticism that we always give basketball shoes, which is like, okay, they all kind of just look like the previous model. You can say that for a lot of the KD sneakers, especially, I feel. But yeah, this one with Volume 8, they decided to go a completely different direction. Like if you had told me this shoe was a totally different signature athlete sneaker, I would have believed you. But to come out with this Volume 8 looking like no other shoe before it, I think they did something interesting here, and I'm seeing a lot of athletes in the NBA wearing this shoe as well. So it is, I think, pretty popular as well. But do you have any thoughts on the Volume 8, Harden?
Yeah, I think that our point about brands having a or trying to develop a design language that, you know, is clearly them, right? So Puma with the MB02 or 03 and the Stewie 3, or Nike with the Ja 1, the Book 1, the, there's a lot of like the GT Cut 3, they all look very similar. Even the LeBron, they're all like mid cuts. You've got the KD, they're all relatively similar, right? The old Kyries. And I think Adidas is the one brand that has been able to develop a new design language, but still make sure that its sneakers look different enough. And I think the Harden Volume 8 and the Anthony Edwards 1 are really good examples of those. They, like, when you put them side by side, you know, like, okay, yeah, those are both Adidas shoes, even though you don't see the three stripes branding straight away, right? But you also see that they're very different shoes. So I think that's testament to Adidas Basketball's great work in the last couple of years. And, you know, long may that continue. I think they're really killing it. Yeah, as for the Volume 8 specifically, it gives me like 2000s vibes. It's just cool. It almost like looks like a Cadillac on your feet in a way. You know those Cadillacs that had like the wheels that would keep spinning even though the car stopped?
Yeah, of
like course. The rims.
Shout out to Paul Wall.
Yeah, that's kind of what this shoe reminds me of. It almost reminds me, like, it almost looks like if you were walking in these shoes and then you stopped, the shoes would keep spinning or keep moving whilst you're not moving, you know? And it just got that like vibe, that like, yeah, that that coolness factor to it, in my opinion. So I think, yeah, super nice shoe. Definitely worthy of making it into your top three. And I'm glad you included it. For my top three, I decided to bring in an absolute OG to the signature sneaker game, and we're talking about none other than LeBron James, who is on his 21st signature sneaker. I mean, 21 signature shoes, that is quite some achievement, in my opinion. You've got, you know, we're talking about the Book 1, the Ja Morant 1, the Sabrina 1, the Stewie 3, the LaMelo Ball 3, even the Harden Volume 8, right? And Harden's been around for a long time. And then you've got the Nike LeBron 21, that just shows you what a dinosaur and what a freak of nature LeBron James is, just in terms of his athleticism, his professionalism, the fact that he's been able to take such good care of his body, preparing for each season, each NBA game for so long. So yeah, man, I really like the LeBron 21. I think that it's one of the cleanest LeBron sneakers yet. It's got like a very nice upper. It reminds me a lot about, like, it reminds me a lot of the Kyries, the Nike Kyries, in the overall shape of the shoe. It's more of a mid-cut, but it's a little bit lower to the ground, a little less bulky than LeBron's older signature shoes, which I like, because I didn't really like how bulky his shoes tended to be. They were always almost like tanks for your feet, and this one is more of like a fighter jet, you know, if I had to liken it to something. It's very stealthy, it's streamlined, but still powerful, still able to support such a powerful athlete, such an explosive human being. And then, I mean, the colorways that have come out are just super nice as well. So one of my favorite shoes. I know that, people say that it plays really well as well. It performs really well. It's comfortable. It's relatively lightweight. It is on the more expensive side, obviously, being a LeBron James shoe, but definitely a good shoe to pick up if you like the ball. And I mean, hey, if you throw a pair of baggy jeans over it, you could almost get away with wearing it off the court, in my opinion.
Yeah, the LeBron 20 was interesting because it was the first LeBron shoe to only release as a low top. Typically, all the LeBrons before it would come with a LeBron high top, and then there would be a low cut version drop later. But that was the first shoe to only release in low top, and they've continued that with the 21. And yeah, I totally get your fighter jet comparison. That's kind of it is kind of what it looks like. And as far as performance goes, I mean, the guy is turning 40 years old in December, and this year had a career high in 3-point percentage, 41%, assists 8.3, 25 points per game. The guy is 39 years old, and he's still... I don't... Listen, man, for me, don't even come at me with the GOAT talk. LeBron is GOAT for me. You can't be at 39 years old before giving me these kind of numbers, man. And if the shoe has anything to do with it, then that must be a pretty good shoe.
I mean, it's definitely out of this world. And I think... I would say it's a toss up, man. And I think you cannot, like, at this point, you cannot ridicule someone for saying that LeBron is the GOAT. I think that's how good he is, that he's made it a fair competition, or like a fair conversation to have, right? Like, I would say maybe like 20 years ago, I mean, 20 years is a long time, but like 20 years ago, like, yeah, don't, no way. Like, what are you going to say? Like, Tracy McGrady, Kobe Bryant, like, nah, they're good players. They were amazing, but like, nowhere close to Michael Jordan. But LeBron, yeah, that's
a
James, fair point.
Now you can actually have a convo, yeah, about it. That's a
and I think
point.
That's probably the biggest compliment you can pay to him, that he's come that close, that it's not ridiculous to pick him over Michael Jordan.
Right, fair point. All right, so we're moving into the top two. So I see that we both actually agree quite a bit on the top two. So my number two is the Anta Kai 1, which is Kyrie Irving's first signature sneaker with Chinese manufacturer Anta. You guys, I'm sure, know the whole story already with what happened with Kyrie and his departure from Nike after a bunch of controversial events. Nike ended up dropping him, and he was without a shoe deal for about 2 years. He was, in fact, covering up the swooshes on his shoe when he played on the court. And then he finally signed to Anta, and his first signature sneaker, which is called the Kai 1. Great name, by the way. That is also my dog's name. But the Kai 1, I think, is such a good-looking shoe. It almost looks to me like as if the new Kyrie, I believe his last shoe was the Kyrie 8. It almost looks like this is what a Kyrie 9 would have looked like. You know, it kind of continues a similar kind of design language. But the amount of crazy details on this sneaker is insane. First of all, the colorway with the purple, the pink, super, super nice, very nice looking pair. But then all the details on it. I mean, the sneaker looks like, first when I looked at it, I'm like, is that like hieroglyphics or something? I feel like Kyrie's name is written in hieroglyphics on the strap of the shoe. And then the logo too, like the double K and like the inverted K, it looks almost like a crown on the toe box of the shoe. Super intricate detailing there. It also kind of gives me some kind of Egyptian hieroglyphics type of vibe, which very much I would say, you know, if there was one player who would have hieroglyphics on his shoe, it's probably Kyrie.
Yeah.
So I think they did a pretty sick job for a signature, first signature sneaker. And as far as Anta goes, this has been a big success for them. The shoe instantly sold out. It's actually very hard to get a pair of these. So it's been a pretty successful partnership here between Kyrie and Anta.
Yeah, I agree with you. As much as I dislike the player in terms of like what he's said, what he's done, and just kind of his general attitude, I think he's super unprofessional and just a weird guy overall, but again, that's just my personal opinion. He's a great basketball player, and we're seeing that with Luka and with Kyrie. I mean, as you said earlier, it's one of the best duos in the league, pretty much unstoppable when they're on form. But yeah, it's a really good shoe. It's you know, it's showing that, you know, China is still pumping a lot of money into trying to compete with the big sportswear brands from the West, from Europe, and from the US. And I think more competition is always good. I think this shoe takes cues from his Nike shoes, you know, with the 4-foot strap, but it brings a new kind of vision and DNA to things. And that's important for sure. And yeah, I think the result is an overall really nice shoe. The launch colorway was very colorful, but also kind of cool in a way. And I'd be interested to see like maybe some more muted colorways come out as well. But yeah, I mean, I forgot to even say, but yes, the Kai one, the Anti-Kai one is also my pick for number two. Josh and I are very aligned there. And I mean, I think you summed it up pretty much perfectly. I can't add much more. It's a very solid shoe, a great basketball player, and also cool that it's a brand that maybe not many people know about or many people wear. So yeah, the Anti-Kai one at number two, which brings us to our number one pick. JD, why don't you kick us off, because we are also very aligned on this one.
And also I wanted to add that in my opinion, the gap between number one and everything else is pretty big. That's how much I think this sneaker deserves to be number one. We are, of course, talking about the Adidas AE1, which is Anthony Edwards' signature line of sneakers, which also just debuted earlier this year. And every colorway has been selling out. You and I spent a long time talking about, actually we spent a whole episode talking about the rise of Adidas basketball sneakers, and we spent a lot of time talking about the marketing behind the sneaker, which was really well done. It was a throwback to 90s style marketing, and it obviously really helped build up the hype on the sneaker because every colorway has been selling out. But I think it's a lot more than hype. I think it's the shoes themselves. They are really, really, really nice looking pair of shoes. They have this very interesting honeycomb design to them. It seems like it doesn't matter at all what colorway they throw on it. It looks really good. However, I do have to give credit to Adidas for some of the colorways they've come out with. When All-Star Game was earlier this year, everyone was talking about the All-Star colorway of the AE1, that iridescent looking colorway. It just looks so sick on that sneaker. We had like a bunch of other pairs drop. I believe there's recently like a, I don't know how to describe it. It was like a peachish color, like pink purple, not like the original peach color, but a little bit different looking. We had the white pair drop as well, the Stormtrooper, which instantly sold out. Yeah, these pairs are flying off the shelves. It seems like everyone wants to be wearing these. And Adidas also did everyone a favor by releasing these at a really, really low price point of $120, which is compared to, I think, all the sneakers we've mentioned in this particular episode in the top five. The Anti-Kai ones are $125. So yeah, in fact, it is the AE1s, which are actually the cheapest sneaker on this list. So yeah, man, like I just feel like AE, Anthony Edwards, he's one of the faces of the league right now, and I think he has a perfect sneaker that really matches how dynamic of a player he is.
Yeah, he's a walking highlight reel. He's got an incredible, you know, persona that he's built up for himself. He's funny. He's great with the media. He's great with the fans. As you said, the marketing push behind this has been amazing, but it can only be as good as the actual face of the shoe. And he is just a funny dude. He is good on social media. He's, you know, tweeting, I think, what was it? He tweeted LeBron and Giannis that he wanted them to wear his shoes, or them to wear his shoes. And I think everything, the stars have kind of aligned. You know, Adidas signed him. He did really well. He kind of blew up. He's posting all these kind of highlight dunks and highlight plays. And then they gave him a really good shoe with a really good marketing push. It was pretty much like jackpot for both sides. And we've talked about it. We did a whole episode around Adidas basketball and the AE1 when it was first launched. And I think not much has changed since then. We both think that it's the best signature sneaker on the market. A lot of people agree. I actually looked at like what Complex and Highsnobiety and Body and stuff had, and Complex had the AE1 as their top signature sneaker right now as well, which just speaks volumes that, you know, it's not just us two dudes with a mic saying this, but also some reputable publishers, some reputable editors in the industry as well. And yeah, I mean, what else is there to say? It's a great shoe. Good dude, a great player. Hopefully, you know, just at the start of a really great career. And I'm actually really, really excited to see what the AE2 looks like.
Yeah, definitely, man. If the AE1's this good, yeah, AE2 is going to be crazy. Also wishing Anthony Edwards and the T-Wolves a great playoff, because it's time. It's time for that team, man. That team should be taking the next step. We'll see. We'll see how they do in the playoffs this year. That's a dark horse team, actually, for sure. The team that could win it all.
For sure.
All right, so let's close off the episode then, as usual, by talking about upcoming drops. So to close out this month, there's definitely some pretty notable sneakers dropping. So we have the first of all, the Nike Field General, which, if you guys didn't already know about this shoe, it's like a very slimmer type of silhouette, maybe like a Nike's answer to the Samba could be. But yeah, it will be dropping in a pretty wearable black and white colorway on April the 18th. We got the New Balance collaboration with Oralay on one of its newer models, the Warped Runner. It will be dropping in two different colorways, like a bluish pair, and then you got this cream color that will be dropping on April the 18th. And we all know how much everybody loves Oralay and New Balance collabs. They're always super clean, and this one's no different. We got it on April 20, the Jordan 1 Green Glow, which I'm going to definitely be passing on this shoe. I don't particularly like this shade of green. But yeah, for those of you who... it's called the Green Glow. I'm not sure if it actually glows in the dark or not. But that will be dropping April 20. Also on April 20, a sneaker I mentioned earlier, the Nike Book 1 Hike, will be dropping on the 20th for a slightly higher than regular retail price. I believe it will be $169, so around $20 more than the regular Book Ones. But that is because there are upgraded materials being used on this pair, including the use of snakeskin. And I think it's just a very, very nice looking, maybe my favorite colorway so far on the Book Ones. We have the Nike SB Dunk Low J-Pack, which if you guys don't already know, there's like a Chicago colorway dropping, the classic Chicago colorway, and then also the Celtics colorway. But it seems like it's only going to be a Europe drop, and only at skate shops within Europe over the next month. There's no official release date, but it's going to be dropping throughout the month. The very hyped Travis Scott's signature sneaker, the Jumpman Jack, that is scheduled to drop on April the 30th. I'm interested to see how this shoe actually performs, because I can definitely get a sense that Travis Scott hype has been dying down quite a bit. So let's see if his signature sneaker puts up numbers on the reselling platforms. Let's see how that goes. On May the 1st, the following day, we have another very, very hyped up collab, the Bode and Nike Astro Grabber, dropping on May the 1st. The Astro Grabber is a shoe that Nike is bringing back from the archives. It's a shoe from the 70s, and it actually very much also looks like an Adidas Samba, I would say. So maybe Nike is clearly moving in the slimmer shoe direction now. And the Bode collab, for me, it's not the sneakers, it's the clothing that's dropping, I think is pretty exceptional. It really matches the ethos of Bode, the brand. And then we have to mention this, on May the 4th, we have maybe the most anticipated Jordan sneaker of the year dropping, the Jordan 4 Military Blue. Apparently, I don't know how true this is, but they're saying there's over 1.7 million pairs that are going to be releasing of this sneaker. So if you do want this pair, you should be able to get it. If not for retail, then very, very, very cheap above retail. I definitely want these. I think it's the best looking pair of Jordan 4s, in my opinion. My favorite colorway that I've always missed in my collection. And I want to be definitely getting that. And it's going to be a great pair for the summer. So the Military 4s are going to be added to the rotation in May. And with that, do you have any other rotation? Any other sneakers you wanted to mention?
No, I mean, that sounds like a whole lot of stuff coming out soon. I'm interested.
Anything you're excited about among the upcoming drops?
Oh, man, the Military Blue 4s, the Astro Grabber, the Warped Runner. Those are probably my three favorite, I would say. But yeah, a lot of good stuff coming out, man. And looking forward to seeing how all this stuff performs as well on the secondary market.
Yeah, and with that, thank you guys again for listening in to our episodes. Thank you for all of the support on the podcast. We're looking forward to the next episode again. That will be episode 70. So yeah, thank you guys for tuning in once more. For Josh, JD, I'm signing out. Until next time, peace.
Thanks for listening, guys.
Peace.